right now on the Midday 180.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis helps us preview Titans and Bengals. Godfrey and Clay Travis talk college football and SEC headlines. And Kevin Byer joins the show. The Midday 180 starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Yesterday, we were live in studio, and today we are back at our favorite location, Edley's Barbecue. Today in Sylvan Park, alongside Paul Kuharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow with the day off. Kirby Allen Kirby just realized Chad Withrow had the day off.
you just realized, or Kirby just realized?
Kirby just realized.
Very attentive.
As I mentioned, Kirby. Kevin Byard's on the show 15 seconds ago. Kirby's pointing at me going, Where's Chad?
Yeah, he's late. He's late, Kirby. He's
David Reed, the chairman of the board. Good to see you, Reed. Welcome back to Zoom Life. I've got Reed on Zoom so we can communicate here. And we will also have Coach Mack joining us in about 15 minutes. Mentioned Kevin Byard. He'll be on the show at 11:15 this morning. And in between that, we'll have we'll hear from Coach Vrabel and Godfrey talking some college football headlines. Paul, what's up, man?
Good morning. Don't love the rainy, gloomy day. It's having a bad effect on the Kuharski household. I'm not going to lie. People don't want to wake up in my house, one person in particular, with his broken arm, which he says really tires him out.
I thought you were going to say you.
I'm better about getting up. It's just a matter of whether how many times I snooze. And there's a certain amount of allowance built in there. But it's good to be out. Good to be out. Good to see some people.
Yep.
And looking forward to rolling through another great show
today. Absolutely.
I do have some fear today, though, Hutton, and you know that.
Really?
Yeah.
What about what?
You know what?
Oh, you're talking about the article that just came out on the Nashville scene?
Yes.
Paul's one of the central figures in the Nashville scene, an article from Steve Cavendish. It's very well laid out. I haven't made it all the way through, but they're doing Steve did a piece on some of the local media members that have branched off to do other things after the regular beat reporting or columnist for the paper or radio host somewhere. And that includes PK, who has paulkuharski.com.
But listen, we know what happened last time I was featured in the scene. Okay?
That's true.
And so we know who's not included in this story. initials BB. I don't know that his... I haven't kept up with his blog. I don't think it exists any longer.
I don't believe it does.
I could be incorrect. But last time I was charged with being racist for having a story written about me. And I can only imagine if he sees this, the emotions that will rise and how quickly I will be suspended.
Well, but the difference is that this is featuring many people. The other one was just a feature about you.
Look, I'm one of the people. He could be mad at A to Z. He could be mad at Joe Rex Road. He could be mad at Broadway Sports. He could be mad at all of us. But he doesn't have a history with those people. Blaine and I have a history. And I'm fearful that things will happen today. And that I will get a phone call from one of the big bosses, and I want Nashville to know, I want you to know, I'm sorry I'm not going to be here tomorrow because an article was written about me.
Reed,
I'm sorry. I apologize to Nashville, to the listeners, to my co-hosts, to everyone for my paid day off suspended tomorrow. But there's nothing I could do. I don't control Steve Cavendish.
Reed, your thoughts on Paul setting up why he's taking off work
tomorrow. I'm not taking it off. I'm suspended.
No, there's no way he's showing up tomorrow. It's not happening.
This is his grand scheme.
Also, interesting photo.
I'm just applying the logic from last time. It's the same logic.
Did they ask you to approve this photo that's in the article?
I did not tell Reed this, but Paul meant, hey, As I'm reading through it, Paul shows me the photo. He goes, this is not the best photo.
I'm glad we agree on something for Jane.
Hutton said it was all right.
I thought it was okay. I think it's a weird angle for Paul.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we got to teach you how to stand. You look a little thick in the middle when you're not necessarily.
Yeah, it's not as good as the last photo from the scene, but I'm really hesitant to talk about the last scene story because I feel when I talk about the last scene story, I feel like that's going to earn me an extra day. Now I won't be here Monday.
Stop being
I'll
so
just
sensitive.
Just hang out in Cincinnati. What, Reed?
Stop being so sensitive about everything.
Am I being sensitive or insensitive?
I'm confused already. See?
So what I'm confused about is, are you unbuttoning your jacket in this photo? If Paul
he
has,
told me to play
are you
the
holding it to make yourself look thinner?
That's what it looks like, because I know that move.
That's you're pulling it in so the jacket's not very baggy. Like that's a slick move. It's almost like you made your jacket a slim fit by doing that.
No, look, the guy was a nice Kirby. Guy. This, by the way, was across the street at Poncho and Lefty's where he came and met me, Daniel Meigs. But he told me to hold the jacket there. We did another one with the crossed arms. I'm not a big fan of the crossed arms photo.
Either. Kirby, your thoughts?
It's a posed photograph. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you'll have your hands together like this, you know, hold the jacket or maybe a hand in a pocket. But yeah, I can see that.
Look, Kirby approval. What do you think about my pending suspension?
You deserve every bit of it.
Shockingly, Kirby in favor.
Oh, yeah, I worry about this one being unpaid.
He's been waiting on the opportunity to tell Paul he deserves to be suspended. 615-737-1045. Our number will be taking your calls for Coach Mack coming up. How about Nashville SC? In the playoffs. I was with Davey Shepherd last night. We were watching, it was on the TV, some of the other matches going on in MLS because the results would guarantee possibly a bye. Not only could they get in, they could possibly get a bye. That's what the headlines were last night. I was stunned when I learned that they were already in, regardless of result, last night.
Look,
having to play.
I got to mellow out on my assessment. Glennon gave me a good scolding when I was again critical of the play.
Critical of the play or not, expansion team getting in
is a story.
When the thought was Nashville and Miami didn't have a shot at being good at all.
Yes.
It was like, just make it through this year unscathed and get to your grand opening of the brand new stadium in a couple of years.
Yes.
And instead, they're in the postseason.
No, it's an impressive accomplishment. And I've got to, I guess, redouble now for the playoff run and invest and tamp down the feelings in my soul about the overall quality of play. But I can't stop myself from saying, if this is a playoff team, the league is really not really good.
Well, they must be exceptional on defense. That's the only because that's
well, they've
what
had
was sold.
Some scoring outbursts. I mean, they've scored three goals at least once, and they've produced enough offense to make things work. And they've adjusted the roster along the way, so they've not stood pat by any means with some of that initial stuff that was horrid, frankly. So we'll talk more about them during what I hope is a playoff run. And we'll have Davey on to set up what's to come here. Because they're now in position to, I'd be afraid to play them. If you draw them in the playoffs now, you know, they've got kind of the super underdog thing where if you lose to an expansion team in the playoffs in their first year, You really have something to account for.
They went through all the playoff scenarios on the Nashville Soccer Show, Davey Shepherd and Will Bowling, and that's podcasted online, 1045thezone.com.
Yep. Go catch that.
Yeah. Derrick Henry, offensive player of the month for the AFC.
Hey, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but people automatically take that. He played three games in October. And one of the games was 19 carries for 57 yards, and one of the games was 20 carries for 75 yards. Those are not offensive player of the month numbers. 22 carries for 212 yards plus a 53-yard catch. That's offensive player of the month game. That carried him. He won this award largely off of the Houston game, which is saying something. I mean,
he did, but then the other games, he gets credit for the touchdowns.
Yeah.
In those other games. Plus are they factoring total yardage as well, or just rushing only?
No, I'm sure they're factoring in total yards, but did he do a lot of catching? I mean, he was struggling to catch the ball.
Well, in the Buffalo game, I know he had a nice catch and run.
But, I mean, 3 yards per carry against Buffalo, 3.75 yards per carry against Pittsburgh. Houston, 9.64 yards per carry. That game won him the month, which is amazing. You can win the award largely off of one-third of your body of work.
Well,
that's how big that game was.
And he will play on November 1st against a terrible run defense against Cincinnati. It's very similar to the numbers prior to Henry putting up the numbers on Houston that inflated them even more.
Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati, you keep looking at this game. I don't know about you. I keep looking at this game thinking, boy, Cincinnati's got some serious deficiencies. The Titans should roll in this game. And then I pause and I go, yeah, the Titans have some pretty big deficiencies too. This is the worst third down defense Joe Burrow's seen. You don't have to pause to question that. This is the worst third down defense anybody's seen.
Yep. 61%. And we'll get into the matchup with Coach Mack, because it's not like the Bengals have been the Jets when you look at the record. They're, in some cases, going into the fourth quarter with a lead.
They're a competitive team.
Yeah.
They don't know how to win yet.
They're throwing a lot. They're putting a lot on Joe Burrow, and he's hit a lot. But we will we'll get into the efficiency of Burrow within this offense as a rookie, why they go empty backfield so much, and why it helps Burrow specifically within Zach Taylor's offense, and much more. We'll take your calls for Coach Mack at 615-737-1045, our number. Midday 180, today live from Edley's Barbecue, opening at 11 a.m., 12 South, East Nashville, and where we're broadcasting from right here in Sylvan Park. Reed, give us a thumbs up if you'd like an order. We can have that delivered to you at 11 a.m. today. And maybe Coach Mack will join us out here after the hit with us. He's always in for some barbecue.
2 days in a row for me, and I might take some home for dinner tonight.
The go-back's coming. Before you know it, the show will be up. When we come back, Coach Mack here on 104.5 The Zone.
Coming up this afternoon with Blaine and Mickey.
The Titans talk continues. Wide receiver Adam Humphries joins us. Plus, we visit with Spiro Dedis, who will be calling the Titans game for CBS on Sunday.
This afternoon from 1 to 3 on 104.5 The Zone.
Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, as we broadcast live from Edley's Barbecue in Sylvan Park. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Got a lot to get to today with Coach Mack. We're going to get a big preview of the Cincinnati Bengals, get his assessment of Joe Burrow. We need his assessment of the Midday 180 bobblehead, because he is the bobblehead master through Farm Bureau Health Plans. He's got two different versions of his own within the last 12 months. And we also have the truth according to Kirby straight ahead. Mac, good morning. How are you? He's holding up the bobblehead.
Good morning, Paul. Oh. What's going on, Kirby? Alan Kirby. Yeah, I wanted to start this show off. I think this is one of the most outstanding things I've ever seen. Of course, it was presented at the Mack Hunt Corporation dinner, which takes a while to put together with all the COVID testing we have to do now and the contact tracing before we can invite people. But Duke Turnbow, and Duke and Melissa Turnbow, who are two of the finest people ever, you know, Duke really liked the Coach Mack bobblehead that Farm Bureau Health Plans did and Randy Wilmore. And so I've known about this for quite a while. And, he was clearly one of the invitees to the Mack Hunt Corporation dinner, put together again and by our founding sponsor, Craig Nance. So I told him, look, I'm going to present a Coach Mack bobblehead to Craig Nance. at this dinner. If you can get that ready, it would be wonderful. And sure enough, he brought this to the dinner, and he really felt like you guys deserved to be immortalized in a bobblehead. And to me, it's what an outstanding effort. If you want to go individually through it, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at Paul right here. It's a nice rendition. I like that he's got the Bruce Springsteen leather jacket on. I mean, that looks good. I like that tremendously. David Reed is spot on. I'm sitting here looking at David Reed right now, and I think I'm holding him right here in my hand in this bobblehead. It just looks outstanding. Hutt looks just like Hutt. They didn't do Chad any justice. I'm just telling you right now. And then, of course, you start looking. He showed me the picture that he got it from. And this shirt that Chad has on in here, it looks like he took the tablecloth off one of those picnic tables at Edley's, you know, with this shirt that he's got on that he's got on right here. But still, I mean, what an outstanding thing for you guys to be immortalized, the Midday 180 bobblehead, and all standing together on the same stand. I think it's unprecedented. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you very much. We were discussing this. Chad has taken this remarkably well, and I've gained a ton of respect for him because if that was me, I would have had a harder time.
You would have popped the bobblehead head off.
No, I would have respected the bobblehead, but it's been a tough week for Chad, and he's handled it with grace.
Well, it's not a passport ID. I mean, it's not a government ID rendition. I mean, it's a bobblehead. So just take it for what it is. But as a group, I think it is absolutely brilliant.
Coach Mack's assessment, and his bobblehead, by the way, is legit as well. Everyone trying to get their hands on one of those through Farm Bureau health plans. Mack, can the Titans get to the quarterback this week? That's where we'll start. Joe Burrow, his offensive line is depleted. They throw the football a lot. How fast is the football coming out in Zach Taylor's offense? And how has Burrow played so far through his rookie season?
Well, first of all, let's start off with this. That offensive line has become depleted. And in last week, you know, they suffered a couple of more injuries on it. And as you go back and watch Zach Taylor's football team with Joe Burrow, you know, throughout the season, you can see that he started off the season, you know, trying to do some things as far as with natural protections. The offensive line started getting hurt. So what he has done is he's gone to, I mean, when you watch them, you're going to have to get ready for quite a bit of empty formation. And empty formation, you know, for our listeners, they'll take a running back and start him out in the backfield and then empty him out there, or they'll start him out outside and either leave him outside or bring him back in to get a man zone declaration. And what this has allowed them to do, Joe Burrow came into this league because of the fact that he worked with Joe Brady there at LSU. He's very familiar with reading out defenses pre-snap. When you watch him for a rookie, he has done a tremendous job, Hutt, of reading out defenses pre-snap. And when you read out defenses pre-snap, it does two things for you. First of all, if you want to change something to get yourself in a more advantageous position, you can do it. You know, if you get to the line of scrimmage quick enough, or you're standing back there in the shotgun quick enough, which they do. The other thing it does, it eliminates where you don't want to throw. And he has done one of the best jobs as a young quarterback. I'm just sitting here watching it, you know, unbiased and just trying to dissect what he's doing, what they're doing on offense. He does a nice job of eliminating where he doesn't want to throw the football. He'll cut the field in half sometimes, you know, when the ball is snapped, and not even worry about one side that he knows is not the place where he wants to go with the football. It's coming out of his hands very quickly. And the other thing that he is doing for a rookie quarterback, he is dispersing the ball, and he's dispersing it to his targets for meaningful yardage. You know, sometimes you can say, well, he's throwing to a lot of targets, but you're looking at a lot of, you know, 4, 5, and 6 yard checkdowns. That's not what you're seeing when you go through the numbers as to the receivers that he has and who's been catching the football for him. I'm impressed with what he's doing as an individual. And I'm also impressed with what Zach Taylor's doing, because look, he's been without Joe Mixon some, and Joe Mixon's a really good running back. I mean, they can still run the ball with Joe Mixon. And if he doesn't play, Giovanni Bernard is also a very good one. But Zach Taylor knows what he has and what he doesn't have you know, coming forward, as you said, with the injuries on the offensive line, this football team has been in ball games, and they've been in ball games and been able to make a rush in the fourth quarter because this guy can distribute the ball without turning it over. Now, early on, he was getting hit a lot. They've adjusted some of that, and they're going to adjust it even more. So the Titans are going to have to be ready to be able to disperse coverage. If they're not getting there, which if the ball's coming out as quick as it did, like it did against Pittsburgh, you got to get your hands up. You got to get some of those things knocked down, especially if they're trying to run those bang eights or those deep digs or those shallow digs across the middle. And so, I mean, this football team's 1-5-1, but don't look at 1-5-1 and think this is just a throwaway football team.
The idea was when Taylor was hired at Cincinnati, he was bringing the McVay offense with him because that was where he came from. I'm curious if you see concepts with the Rams offense in Cincinnati, or does Burrow allow them to do much more?
Well, it's not that he allows them to do much more. Kirby's putting up your banner back there behind you, Hud. It fell down. Good job, Kirby. The thing that he's doing, he's not doing more. He's doing what he needs to do with what's going on with his offensive line. I mean, that's what's important. He's got all those elements, and we're talking about the elements right now offensively of the cut splits, the play actions, the TRCs, the transcontinentals, you know, the shots, the bootlegs, because Joe Burrow's a good athlete. He's a good foot athlete. He can move, you know, the boots, the boot throwbacks, the wheel routes coming off the boot throwbacks, all of those things that you see a lot in McVay's offense. He's got those elements in it right now, but that's not the main thing they're doing right now.
Let's talk about their receivers. 42 of Boyd's 48 catches have come out of the slot. We're talking with Greg Cosell, who thinks it would be great if Adoree Jackson could go in the slot against Boyd, that would be a nice matchup. Green with 29 catches, Higgins with 27 catches, very wide receiver-centric. They play wide, three wide a ton. And the Titans, obviously, cornerback depth has been an issue. Hopefully, Adoree's back this weekend. Fulton out, so they still don't have their full complement of three. And we're still going to see some degree of Chris Jackson, of Jonathan Joseph, of Ty Smith, though Ty Smith is on the injury report with a shoulder here. What are you expecting from Adoree if he's back? And we're certainly expecting him back. I have a little wariness, Mac. And I wrote this last night, of the Titans feeling too much like this guy's going to come in and solve our problem.
No, I don't think they think that. That's not how coaches think. But I do know this, Paul, and you know this too. So do our listeners, is that you need your best players on the field. And what they did and accomplished really in the offseason was add more speed, you know, and hopefully with Fulton and Adoree together. Those two guys have never been on the field together yet. And you bring up a very good point. But when you don't have – and, I mean, Adoree's our speed corner. He's our speed corner. And Fulton's our next fastest corner. So when you have those two guys, then by game plan specific, you can deploy those people against who you think their best matchup would be if you are, you know, so inclined to do that, which most people are, especially if people are playing a lot of 11 personnel, because Adoree has played inside in the slot. And you're right about Boyd. He's a huge part of what they do offensively. The issue is, and I don't believe that they, because one guy is not going to come in and just solve every problem that you have. You know, I mean, Adoree but Adoree will help. I mean, I just know this from experience, as far as if I had one corner that I knew, you know, I could count on to match up with their fastest player, or I could count on to be able to play zone and still run down things if something got loose. That always helps. But I don't think that the Titans are thinking he's going to solve all their ills. I do know that if they're anxious for him to be able to come back to play when he's ready. I admire Mike Vrabel for this. He's always had great constraint and great and a great ability to not put those players back on the field after injury unless they are truly ready to play. And that comes from a lot of knowledge of what the National Football League is. I've seen too many coaches, you know, in my time, put players back out on the field coming back from inactivity too early, and then all of a sudden you lose them again. And so to answer your question, yes, it will help if Adoree's going to be back, but I don't believe the coaching staff is thinking this solves all the ills we're having on our third down defense.
Coach Mac with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mac, in the shows you do here on The Zone and the shows you do, quite frankly, coast to coast, whenever you're asked about the Titans, I'm sure they're bringing up the third down defense. Everyone's looking for a reason as to why it's been so bad to begin the season. From a coaching perspective, what do you see? What can you tell us?
Well, it's a weekly issue, and it's different things every week, and that's what you have to go back, and that's what you do as a coach. And you're right. I mean, I do a lot of media, you know, across the country all week, and the two biggest things they want to talk about when I talk about the Titans, they want to talk about Derrick Henry, and then they want to talk about the third down defense because they've been having issues. And here's the thing that comes up. And Hutt, I know you've dug into some of these numbers. It's amazing how many third and double digits they're getting people to. I mean, it's amazing. And all the years that I coached, and one of the mantras as far as coaching defense in the National Football League is you've got to work to get to third down, you know, and then that's when you can go to work to put pressure. Well, they've done the work on first and second down, which sometimes is the hardest work to do because those are the conflict downs. Those are the conflict downs, and especially when you get them into third and double digit, then you've got to feel like you've got them in a position where they're in conflict and you're not. They've let them convert too many of those. I know you've got the numbers of those because, you know, I know how you dig into the numbers. And it's a myriad of things, but you have to marry up your pressure and you have to marry up your coverage. And to me, those two different things raise their head at different times during these third downs throughout the season. It's not like you can say, well, this one person here or this one position here or this one group here is responsible for all the ills. That's not what's happening. But you need to get it. They need to. And they look, Mike Vrabel is more aware of this than any of us sitting here talking in these Hollywood Square boxes. I promise you that. They're addressing it, but then you have to make it work on Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays or whenever you play.
Third and 11 or longer, opponents are 7 for 13 in conversion rate, and all 13 times, as you might imagine, on third and 11 or longer, the opponent is throwing the football. And this season, third down and 7+, we've mentioned that the overall conversion rate is 61%. Third and 7+ is 54%. So no matter where you look, it's really bad, except, Mac, for 3rd and 8 to 3rd and 10. That's where they're at their best. They've only allowed 6 conversions, 6 of 16, from 3rd and 8 to 3rd and 10, which is also really strange to see when you see the other numbers around the third down issues.
Yeah, and so what that points out to you, Hutt, and I mean, I know you take a deep dive into the numbers, and rightfully so, and what that points out is it's not just one issue. But look, third down defense is like run defense. You can put that tape on and you can say, okay, is it the call? Is it the call? Are we asking them to do something they can't do against these people in the matchups that we thought this week? Are they having too much time to throw? Or are they getting it out quick and we're not spot tackling when we're playing zone or either pressure zone? All of those things come into being. Or can we just not match up with these people man-to-man when we bring full pressure and they're able to go one-on-one and beat us? And so all of those things come into being, and you know it, and I know it. I mean, and I can't be up there because of COVID in the building, and I'm not in their defensive meetings, never have been, never will be. But I promise you this, I know after 31 years of coach of defense in this league, they are concentrated on it very, very intently.
Coach Mack is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Coming up, Mack, you've got some great stories over the years from Paul Brown Stadium. We'll have you retell a few of those. And then around the corner as well, the truth according to Kirby, a very special edition as we broadcast live in Sylvan Park at Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
The Panthers and Falcons. Kickoff is tonight at 7:15 on your home for Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night football. 104.5 The Zone.
We are live, Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Sylvan Park, our location today. Kirby Allen Kirby and David Reed making the show happen for us. Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. With Farm Bureau Health Plans, you can plan on not needing a Plan B because we provide health coverage you can depend on. Farm Bureau Health Plans, plan on us. Mac, Cincinnati, the location this weekend, Paul Brown Stadium, and wind played a factor with a game plan for your team once.
You know, it was old Paul Brown Stadium, and we went in there to play the Bengals, and it was a residual of a hurricane that had come up through the trough there like they do. And I mean, we walked out, pre-game, and it was blowing. I mean, your jacket and your pants, I mean, they were like billowing like sails on a sailing ship. I mean, and you had to just anchor yourself down, you know, to keep from blowing away. And I mean, the passes and the punts, everything that we were doing, it was a tremendous residual wind, and it was constant, and it was just going. And I mean, and there was trash, the trash cans were on the ground, trash was swirling up in the air. It looked like an apocalypse movie. And so we go back in and we come back out. Okay. We come back out, and everybody knows it's windy. And so everybody's kind of buttoned down. Some people have done some different things, have changed clothes, have put on some heavier jackets, because the lighter jackets were just, I'm saying, they were just flapping like a flag on a flagpole, and you could see. So anyway, we come back out. Ernest Biner is our running back coach. And so we lose the toss. They elect to kick. We get the kickoff, and I'm up in the box, and I'm looking down there at the sideline watching everything swirl around. And of course, the kickoff, you know, the kickoff is against the wind, so it kind of hangs and goes up, and our offense starts to run out on the field. And I look down there, and Ernest Biner is running down the sidelines, looking up in the air like a kid flying a kite. His whole game plan, he had pulled it out of his pocket, and that wind had taken that thing up. And you could watch that thing go up like that house, like Dorothy's house in The Wizard of Oz, go right up in that funnel, right, and right out the top of the stadium. I mean, it was gone. I mean, his whole game plan, gone. Somebody picked his whole game plan up out there on the river somewhere, I'm sure. But it was an amazing windy day, amazing windy day. We won that ball game. And then we went up there and played again one time. And Keith Bullock, you know, the great Keith Bullock, Mr. Monday Night, was named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week for that ball game. Keith Bullock never sat in one special teams meeting. He and David Thornton were always meeting with me when I was there. Bullock never saw one special teams meeting. Well, we had them pinned down there on the edge of their goal, at their goal line, and Alan Lowry had seen during the week, you know, that they had a flaw in their punt protection scheme. So he had put in a punt block, you know, but I mean, if Bullock is standing, it would be sitting right there. I'd tell the same story. I've told it in front of Bullock before. He had no idea what the punt block was. You know, they called the punt block, and he's looking around at people saying, you know, where I line up, what I do. They snap the ball, and Bullock, with the way that he was, with his athleticism, he just flies off the line of scrimmage, snaps between the wing and the tackle on that side, gets skinny, and then sticks out those go-go, that one go-go gadget arm, you know, I mean, it just shot up in the air, blocked the punt, fell on it for a touchdown. AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, Keith Bullock. Never been in a special teams meeting in his life.
Semi-shielded from the wind in Riverfront press box, but you're still sitting on a cement slab pretty much. It wasn't exactly warm up there, was it?
No, you know, that thing was, no, it wasn't. If you talk about, I'll just say this, it wasn't AT&T Stadium, and it wasn't SoFi Stadium. It wasn't the Viking Stadium. It was, they were lacking some of the comforts of life.
Coach Mac with us, and Mac, whenever we're out on location and Kirby Allen Kirby is here and you're on the show, you know what we have to do. It is time for the truth according to Kirby.
And now it's time for Nashville's most honest game show. It's the truth according to Kirby.
Tell me lies.
Two of these statements are lies. The other, the truth. maybe.
U.S. Olympics 1980, the game was televised 4 days after the event.
And here's your host, Bob Barker's nephew himself, according to Kirby.
That's not true!
It's John Hutton.
You can't handle the truth.
Thank you, Davis Reed. Today's truth involves years back in the 80s. And it will lead to a great story. And hopefully a Paul loss. We'll see what happens here. Because Paul will have to heap 15 seconds of praise. Well, there's nothing at stake if you win. At least get the 15 seconds of praise. Written by Kirby here. By now, most everyone who knows Kirby knows the three loves in his life. The Buckeyes, Pepsi,
and Brewers.
And golf. Without the L. Golf. It was just across the street from where we sit. So many years ago that Kirby first fell in love with the fickle lady in green. In other words, golf. What year was it on a brisk November day when with the swing of an 8-iron, he would forever be tormented by the game we call golf? 85, 87, or 89?
Well, that's a weak question. What happened?
Hey, again.
I hit an 8-iron. They're beautiful, and there's like tuning fork thing off, and I heard angel voices. I'm like, I got to do this again.
And what are the years? This is a terrible question.
85, 87,
yeah,
or
89. I mean, this is a completely random selection.
Of course.
Coach Mack, do you want to serve as my coach, my assistant, since Winthrow isn't here?
This question, most of them are hard anyway. This is not hard. This is impossible. I mean, this is just a random number of Kirby hitting, as he says, a sweet tuning fork. I mean, it's not that's hard, Paul. I wish I could help you, but it would just be a random guess with three choices. I mean, whatever you say has got to be the right choice, because how the hell do you know?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm class of 87.
Okay.
From Rutgers Prep, where I'm in the Athletic Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So I'll go with 87.
Kirby, today's truth, please.
1987.
Ah!
November the 87. It was...
Okay, so what happened at McCabe?
I had been promoted, and my boss was an avid golfer.
Well, I mean, already it's hard to believe. Kirby being promoted.
And so he wanted to play golf.
Which job was this?
Third National Bank.
Okay.
Clown at the circus.
So we met at McCabe, and it was like the third or fourth hole. You know, after a terrible tee shot, because I was very bad.
Like now.
But anyway, my second or third shot, I hit this 8-iron that was just from it, everything was right? It was just that noise, and it just hit and stayed up there. And I was like, man, I got to do that again. Now, the rest of the day was terrible, but I decided right then and there, I'm going to figure this game out.
And how's that going?
I love it. Although you wouldn't be able to tell by last Saturday, I enjoyed this game.
So he fell in love with golf at McCabe.
Yeah. How much do you regret that the one time I saw you through 18 holes, when you were supposed to be an A player in a scramble, that Kevin Ingram was our A player?
I never, ever, you dubbed me the A player.
Well, no, you talked a big game, and everybody thought, hey, Kirby's going to be the guy that plays well here and gives us a chance.
And I hit a 5-iron.
No, awful. The whole day, awful. It wasn't one shot. I mean, you were regularly terrible.
No, he's saying that 5-iron got him started on the wrong path.
No, I hit the 5-iron, and that's what started the whole thing. But
the guy was in the woods the whole day. I hardly saw him. Thank God I wasn't sharing a card. I think I was with Brad.
May have been.
Yeah.
Was I with Ingram?
I
remember that.
And you guys had to travel so far because Ingram was in the fairway and you were in the woods.
Kirby, yesterday, I bring this up now because maybe he gets a gift later. You went to the Sprinter after the show at Sudden Service, and someone left you a 12-pack of Pepsi.
Oh, it was all night long. We had a guy, listen to this, no joke. Truth according to Kirby. We were in Gallatin. By Airport Road. So one guy comes in and he buys like Mountain Dews for everybody and great big Pepsis for me and a pack of cigarettes. Another guy calls in, he may have been a little bit inebriated from Hendersonville, and wants to give them his credit card number so he can purchase a 6-pack of Pepsi for me.
Wow. this is unheard of.
This was other things.
If you want to call into Edley's and buy Kirby stuff.
And then when we got ready to leave, there was a...
Just wish list.
I wear a size large. No, I'm just kidding. There
it's
was
like
a,
Eric the Actor.
The very soggy 12-pack of Pepsi cartons sitting next to the Sprinter passenger door.
So much love for you.
I'm,
and none of this happens without us. So feel free to use my 15 seconds to compliment you to express your thanks to us for the love that's being shown to you.
Oh, you're welcome that I get up at the crack of dawn before so every day. Well, yeah, and you're doing yours.
Mine is not to play this foolish game that we came up with. 87. Think about it. Kirby hit one good 8-iron.
In 1987.
And I was finishing up a glorious senior year, heading off to Columbia University in the city of New York, older
Mac,
than the nation itself.
Coach Mack, your thoughts on Kirby Allen, Kirby, and the golf stories, and also getting gifts from listeners now. He's famous.
Well, first of all, he deserves every gift he gets. He deserves every gift he gets. I can't believe people aren't storming the doors right now to buy him brisket. The other thing is that I applaud Paul's intuition with the 87. That was a genius move to pull that out. And the other thing that I applaud is Kirby hit 1 8-iron in an entire round and still had the wherewithal to stay with it and then master the game of golf. That's Kirby Allen Kirby. That is why he is the one and only Kirby Allen Kirby that I'll always, always believe every word he says.
We're more than 30 years out, and the guy still remembers that one damn 8-iron. If only he hadn't hit that, think of what he could have done with his life. With all this time he's wasted on golf courses, all this money he's wasted on golf courses, he could be out digging for trilobites.
Did your new boss give you the promotion after the round?
Oh, I'd already gotten the promotion. In fact, the guy that was my boss
after
the time
round, it was demoted.
Gave me, because at the time I didn't own any clubs or anything. I had played with some friends' clubs, and we played this round out there. It was a set of Wilson 1200s, and he goes, "Listen, you take these set of clubs, you learn how to play this game," and I try to
it's
pay
like
him
Tiger
for it.
Tiger Woods story.
And he wouldn't let me
sawed off.
No,
sawed off pitching wedge.
He wouldn't
learn
let
this and then come back to me.
But he wouldn't let me pay him for them. And he said, someday when you've finished with these and you see a person that or a kid that wants to learn how to play a game of golf, pass them on. And
so
I've done
beautiful.
So with
who did you pass it to?
I gave them to a kid in Cookville who's a nephew of mine. But
he kept the 8-iron.
No, I didn't. I gave him the entire set. Yeah,
he got but framed and hung I have, in the yurt.
I have played it forward with about 3 different sets of golf clubs down the year.
So beautiful. Your
Kirby.
Love of the game.
Thank you as always.
Hey, thank you guys. Yeah.
Kirby Allen Kirby with the truth according to Kirby.
He paid it forward with the clubs, and now all you people pay it forward by, I think there's a gas station around the corner. Call in Pepsi orders there, and Kirby will pick it up at 1:15.
Mackey's going to have a boatload of Pepsi by the time he leaves here.
Kirby deserves every gift any listener would ever bring him because he is the one and only Kirby Allen Kirby.
Guinness supports Kirby more than the Titans franchise supported Marcus Mariota. And
Mac,
that's saying something.
Thank you as always. We always love having you on. And we will, well, I'll see you on Saturday as we head up to Cincinnati.
Safe travels, boys.
Absolutely. See you. Thank you. See you, Paul. See you, Hutz. See you, David Reed. Bye, Kirby.
Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We've got some Titans headlines to continue to discuss when we return. Stephen Godfrey will be here in about 20 minutes as well, as we'll hit some SEC and college football headlines on the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Coming up today on the Midday 180.
Thursday, we are live from Edley's Barbecue in Sylvan Park. Coach Mack kicks off the show with us.
College football on Adderall with Stephen Godfrey. College football on speed with Clay Travis.
And we dive into Titans Bengals, the first road trip in some time for Tennessee.
Today, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.